The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
King of glory, Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and lives. Let us open the doors for you to enter. Amen. 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 It's a response to that little prayer that I want to talk about. And can I begin by focusing on the door of our hearts? The door of our hearts. I know that many of you have already taken the step to invite Jesus into your hearts. But to any who haven't, I'm going to ask straight away today, what is keeping you from opening the door of your heart to the love, the light, and the life of Jesus? You know, all of us can live independently of trust in Jesus, but that isn't what we were made for. We are made for relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are two ways the image of a door is used in helping us know and live for Jesus in the Bible. The first is that Jesus is the door through whom we come into relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. The God who wants to be our shepherd, the one who wants to guide us and lead us, came to us in Jesus and declared to us in Jesus, "I am the door." And we're able to know him, to know his voice, to follow him, to receive the life of God's kingdom through him by entering through that door. The second is the door we have in our own hearts. And Jesus speaks to us all and says in a verse that many might know from Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." There's a painting many of you probably know called Light of the World by Holman Hunt. And it pictures Jesus knocking on an overgrown and long unopened door, which has no handle. It can only be opened from the inside. And I love that. I love that. Jesus doesn't force himself on anybody. Neither can conversion be forced on anybody, and the church has regrettably been guilty of doing that. The decision is left to each one of us. So if by any chance you've not opened the door of your heart to Jesus, why not make today the day that you do that? And perhaps let me add, anyone who feels that they've been shutting Jesus out of their lives recently. And you might find this little prayer helpful. I'm going to try something here. I'm going to hold something up to the camera. I hope you can see it. If not, don't worry too much. Lord Jesus, I admit that I haven't lived in a way that has put you at the center of my life. Thank you that through you, I can find love, forgiveness, new life, grace, and help for the future. I open the door of my heart. Come in and help me live with you and for you, now and every day. Amen. And if you've never done that before, know that God has truly heard that prayer and that cry of your heart. But let me move on and say, for all of us who have done that, we have to go on opening the door of our lives every day to the Lord and the King of Glory. Our decision, that little prayer that we've just prayed, which many of us perhaps prayed years ago, it's the beginning of a process. All of us need to keep on opening the doors of our lives to Jesus. We need to form and forge and mold ourselves as his followers, his disciples. And here's just a few key areas that help in that process. The first area is that of character. Character. We need to allow and cooperate and keep on asking the Holy Spirit to grow the fruit of the character of Jesus within us. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control, those qualities of the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit, of the character of Jesus, which needs to grow in us. The second area is our thought life, our thought life. You know, all of us react to situations and people in various ways, and our reactions have probably been forged by the backgrounds we've had and the values that we've taken on board from the standards of others or current circumstances. Following Jesus means learning to think and react to situations like he did. We need to, as Paul said, take every thought captive for Christ. Jesus had a clear purpose for his life. He knew how to set priorities. He stood for justice and confronted hypocrisy. And the Apostle Paul is recorded as saying this in Philippians 4, verses 8 to 9. Whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think of these things. Practice these things. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Letting the door open to Jesus in our thought life is just so important. And then another way in which we open the door of our lives to Jesus is in our actions. And it's easy to know what Jesus wants of us in this regard, because he was asked during his ministry what he regarded as the most important principles of human living. And his answer was, you'll probably know, the most important things to do are these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment, nothing more important than these things. And that's repeated in what's often called the golden rule from Matthew 7, verse 12. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So thinking and acting in such ways will open the door to Jesus being central. And then the fourth area is lifestyle itself, the choices we make, the vocations we follow, the standards we set, the values that we live to. the care and stewardship of God's wonderful world, how we use what money we have, being generous, generous givers. We find some very practical, down-to-earth teaching from Jesus about lifestyle in Luke chapter 6, and do go over it. But as a general lifestyle principle, you'll see there, and it's a general lifestyle principle, it's not just about money, it's about loving others, not judging. It's about forgiving others, and the very foundation that we want to be seen to build our life on. Jesus says to us, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And let me put this question personally, though I ask it of myself too regularly. What does your lifestyle say about the way in which you have opened the doors of every area of your life to Jesus? I know that takes some working out, but following Jesus should change everything. Everything. So we've talked about opening the door of our hearts and how that decision leads to opening the doors of every area of our lives to Jesus. Would you bear with me just as I talk now about two further doors? And the first of these is the doors we want to see open ourselves. The doors we want to see open ourselves. I'm fairly sure that for each of you listening, there will be many areas of life that you want to see Jesus enter into. Like me, you may have been praying for many years to see the people of this nation turning to Jesus, or praying for family members to find their purpose in knowing and following him. You could be praying for a new job or a change of direction, praying for people you know who have been affected by the current pandemic, praying for an opportunity to witness to somebody about following Jesus. And prayer, as you'll know, is the first step in getting such doors to open. But in his letter to the Colossian Christians, Paul wrote, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, that I might make it clear." We've mentioned that this morning. Now, I have to be honest and say that patience is not my greatest quality, as Anne will tell you. If I'm praying for something, I want the door to open quickly. 2 or 3 days' time at the latest. And to be even more honest, when prayers don't get answered in the way and in the time scale I want, it gets frustrating, even discouraging. And then, of course, it's so easy to start walking down the road of, oh, God isn't interested, obviously. Or he's not as kind as he says he is. Or, oh, well, maybe I'm not good enough, or I haven't got enough faith, you know. All of which is untrue, of course. And I need to keep reminding myself, and I'm hoping that you identify with me in the kind of sentiments I'm expressing, that when Jesus talked about prayer, he said quite clearly that we would need to ask, seek, and knock. And those who know about the Greek used in the New Testament tell us that those words are to be understood as a continuous action. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Crucially, also, the advice to keep asking, seeking, and knocking comes in the context of a story which emphasizes the importance of persistence. Persistence. Challenge to all of us. Keep going. Keep going. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And if we'll do that, then comes the promise. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks in that sort of way receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. The timing might still not be what we would choose, but it is for us to keep faithful. Faithful. Even ready. And actually, there's another story about that in Matthew 25 involving a door, which is worth reading, verses 1 to 13, but we'll have to keep that for another time. But let me say this. If there is a door that you want to see open, let's all take that on board as we've reminded ourselves of it, to keep going, keep praying, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Well, thanks for listening so far. And let me quickly mention just the one final door that came to mind. The final door. The final door. The door that will confront us at the end of our human lives. And I'd love to start talking at this point about the glories that await us, but I need to finish. Let me just entice you, I hope, with a couple of questions. Are you looking forward to the glory to come? Is your citizenship of the kingdom of God now giving you such a certain hope in the eternity that is awaiting you beyond that final door? Jesus wants us all to know with certainty that that final door is going to open for those who have sincerely followed and trusted and walked with him. We'll be caught up in the eternal reign of the King of Glory. And a spontaneous and everlasting outpouring of praise will be the response of our hearts and lips. Let me pray again. King of Glory, Lord Jesus, come into our lives and our hearts and keep alive our hope for the future that you have made certain. Let us, Lord Jesus, open doors for you to enter. Amen, and amen, and amen.